This morning is taken from the 12th chapter of the Gospel according to Luke. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus said, "Do not be afraid, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give alms. Make purses for yourselves that do not wear out, an unfailing treasure in heaven, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Be dressed for action and have your lamps lit. Be like those who are waiting for their master to return from the wedding banquet, so that they may open the door for him as soon as he comes and knocks. Blessed are those slaves whom the master finds alert when he comes. Truly, I tell you, he will fasten his belt and have them sit down to eat, and he will come and serve them. If he comes during the middle of the night or near dawn and finds them so, blessed are those slaves. But know this, if the owner of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have let his house be broken into. You also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an unexpected hour." This is the gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. Dear friends in Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. So I've got a story for you to start things out today. I think I've shared a little bit about some of my friends when I was growing up. Anyway, I want to share a story about one of them. He was a young man who clearly was very angry. He saw the world through a prism of anger. And people who see the world through a prism of anger see things in a very negative way. They will focus on what is bad. They will not see what is good. They will be very judgmental of others. They will be able to tell everybody else what their flaws are, but not be able to say anything about their own. They will be pessimistic and, in some cases, apocalyptic about the future. Anyway, so what this did in a practical way is cause him, because what's in our hearts will always affect the way we behave. Spiritual realities are what's behind behavior. People don't just do things. They do things in accordance with what they feel in their hearts, with what lives in their hearts. And so what the anger was doing to him was it's a number of things. Number one, he was failing in school because he didn't put anything into it. He was experimenting with drugs. He drank too much on the weekends. He fought with his mother, and as we were getting older and getting toward graduating from high school, it became clear that if he didn't do something, if something didn't change, the future looked very dim for this young man. Now, he had one person in his life with whom he had a good relationship. That was his older brother. And what was behind his anger, I think, was that at the age of, I think he was about 9 or 10, he was at a vulnerable age as a child. His father got involved with another woman, left the family. He was a successful guy, but he left the family and had very little to do with his boys after that. He's just gone, absconditus. And his mother, and his mother drank too much, okay? So the home life was bad, and no wonder he was angry, okay? He was at the point when he needed his father the most, he was gone. And there was no other person in his life that could be a father figure. He had his older brother, but that's all. So anyway, his brother was, a lot healthier. And he told him, you know, you need to get into some counseling or things are not going to go very well for you. So he did that. And in a nutshell, what the therapist told him was very simple and something that I think most people would probably tell him, and that was that you got to figure out some way to get out from under your anger. You got to put that behind you because it has become your master. And if you don't master the anger is going to master you. And that's what it's done. So whether you... It means you're going to have to forgive your father, or somehow you got to put this behind you and look to the future instead of being stuck in the painful realities of the past. So I thought of that story when I was thinking about, you know, Jesus talks again and again and again about the heart, what's in the heart. When Jesus interpreted the meaning of the law in the Sermon on the Mount, he was very clear that the law is speaking not just about behavior, but what motivates the behavior. So he says, you have heard of old that you shall not kill, but I say to you that if you have anger, or if you say you fool, or whatever it might be, that also is a violation of the law. Because it is not possible to be a person that shines with the love of God in the world, that is a person who demonstrates to other people the reality that there is a God. And you know, the most quoted argument by people who don't believe in God, the most quoted argument is the reality of evil, right? How could a good God allow all these bad things to happen? Especially to children. And it's an argument that shouldn't just be dismissed. It's a difficult argument to address. I think it can be addressed, but that is, you know, the problem of malevolence and its effects on human beings is extremely difficult to square with the promises of a God of love. So people have a hard time with that. Anyway, Jesus, when he talks about what we do, this is referred to as fruits. Behavior is the fruits of what lives in our hearts. So he focuses laser-like right there, just as he did in our text for today. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And he uses a couple of examples to demonstrate or to express what it looks like when a person's treasure is God's love. You know, you sell the your possessions become of secondary importance. I mean, who would trade a bunch of stuff for the experience of the love of the creator of the universe? Who would trade that? All that stuff, I was reminded of what a burden all this stuff can become the other day when my neighbor across the street wanted to have a yard sale. Out came all this stuff. Nobody showed up. Poor guy, he says, where is everybody? I got to get rid of this stuff. Well, he was stuck with it. So anyway, that's the example he uses. But I want to turn briefly to the first lesson. And the first lesson for today, this is a very good example of what we were talking about here. Because Abraham has promised, you know, this fantastic promise. You're going to be the ancestor of countless descendants. The stars in the sky, the sand on the seashore. There's going to be so many of them. Okay, he's almost 100 years old. Sarah's almost as old. And he despairs, and you can't blame him. And he says, God, this promise is null and void. This is not going to happen. It's not going to happen. My Eleazar, servant or whatever, he's going to be the heir of everything I've got. So how does God deal with this? Abraham's despair causes him to give up on God's promise. Just like the malevolence in the world oftentimes causes people to give up on their faith. Can't believe in a good God anymore. So, well, what God does is he simply gives Abraham a visual display. He says, come out of your tent, count the stars in the sky if you can. That's how many descendants you're going to have. In other words, God simply restates the promise to Abraham in this visual way. And when he hears those words, he's able to believe. And when he believes, it is reckoned to him as righteousness. That's what the Bible means by righteousness. Righteousness isn't just moral purity. Righteousness is the ability to believe and to stand and to trust on God's promises. That's what righteousness is. So he believes. And what does that do? It dispels the despair. The despair goes away. It's a transforming moment in his heart. So what we're talking about here, it seems to me, with the Christian faith, is we're talking about how it is that a world where so much negative rhetoric, so much hatred, so much just garbage mouth is coming out of people's every day to the point where people don't even want to turn the TV on anymore. You know, I sometimes wonder when people wake up in the morning, do they say to themselves, I think today I'm going to pour salt on the wound rather than do something that might actually help? Because that's what's happening. There's so much negative, and social media, unfortunately, wonderful tool that it is, but it's facilitating the spread of this negativity that's infected the hearts of so many people. And when people spread negativity, it affects others. It spreads like a virus. It's like an infection. And it just makes everything worse. You cannot turn things around in a situation, whether it's a family, a group of friends, a community, a city, or a whole country. You cannot turn things around by spreading negative rhetoric. It doesn't work. What works is the desire to turn things around in a positive way. And how does that happen? Well, sometimes human beings just can't get out from under the infections in their own hearts. All of us, that happens to. Sometimes we just can't get rid of that stuff. For whatever reason, whether it's a painful past, something that's caused a lot of pain in whatever, that it leaves wounds, and we begin to see the world through those wounds. Before our behavior and our word, the words that come out of our mouth can change, the wounds have to be healed. And that's what Jesus is talking about when he's talking about the treasures of heaven. We can live in the kingdom of God right now. Not completely. Yes, it comes in all of its fullness at the end of time. But the kingdom of God simply means the rule of God's love. God rules through God's love. And it's an open door. The open door to God's kingdom is forgiveness and mercy. When people begin to understand that their own negativity, that they have to take responsibility for their own negativity. Nobody else can do it. We all have to take responsibility for our own issues, whatever they are. And when they're spreading hate or despair or negative outlooks or whatever it is they're spreading until we decide to look inside of ourselves, nothing will change. That's where it starts. That's why Jesus said, take the log out of your own eye before you start taking the speck out of everybody else's. It starts with each one of us looking inside and deciding, I don't like what I see. I can make things better. Even if it's just better in my own family, even if it's better with my parents, even if it's better with a friend, even one little thing, even if it's better when I go through the grocery store and I'm talking to the checkout person, we can all change for the better. We can all do things that make things better. And those little things spread just like the negative things spread. So how does that happen? Well, it happens by receiving the grace, mercy, love, and forgiveness of God. That's how it happens. When we believe, when we hear God's word, the word is the good news of Jesus Christ. That is the gospel. When we put our faith and trust in that, when we believe that Jesus hung on that cross for our sake, when we believe that that is the point at which the whole future of the human race changed and turned around from one of going to hell to one of going into the kingdom of God. When we believe that, the Holy Spirit changes us from the inside out. And then we can become people who begin to not just take responsibility for our own selves, but then to be able to reach out to our neighbors, not for the sake of getting something back, but for the sake of the good of other people. That is the fruit that Jesus looks for, not because it earns us a place into heaven, but because it demonstrates where the faith of our heart is located. It's located on the treasures of God's love, not on other things. And then, having located ourselves there, we can see the future as a process. It's a process. Human history is not going to hell, not according to the gospel. Human history is moving toward the final consummation of the kingdom of God. But the thing is, nobody knows when that will happen, right? That's how Jesus closes it. You do not know the hour or the time when the Son of Man is coming. But this we know for sure, that he is coming. And when he comes, the evil, the sin, and the malevolence that affects our world, and that he calls us to address through his own amazing, abundant love, then we will be ready to receive him. Amen.